More of Lake Effect Now, I'm Bonnie North. This is a special edition of the program, a broadcast of a forum on race relations that was held as part of Project Milwaukee, Black and White. Before the break, we heard from audience members who discussed the state of racial harmony, or lack thereof, in Milwaukee. The final part of the forum, moderated by Lake Effect's Mitch Tyke, turned back to our panelists to get their reaction to what the audience members had to say. Again, our panel consisted of Enrique Figueroa, Howard Fuller, Mark Levine, Paula Pennebaker, and Tim Sheehy. Mark Levine spoke first.
We on the panel were talking a bit while you all were talking, and one of the things that occurred to me and that I mentioned to other panelists was that looking at voting returns, again, not as an indicator necessarily of race relations per se, but just as an indicator of differences within the community. In the 2008 presidential election, Milwaukee had the biggest regional gap in the vote for Obama in the sort of the central counties, so the city of Milwaukee and the Milwaukee County suburbs, versus the exurbs, Washington, Milwaukee, and Waukesha counties, had the biggest intra-regional gap of any of the largest metropolitan areas in the country. The only one that was close, I think, was Detroit. Surprise, surprise. You know, some of that's race, some of that's culture, some of that's sort of territorial differences, but it tells us a little bit about the problems that we have in terms of surmounting kind of community fragmentation. Another quick indicator that came up in some of the comments, the issue of transportation and race. Everybody recognizes in this community that we have what's called a spatial mismatch. Unemployed, primarily minority workers in the central city, all the jobs being created in suburban areas. And I think at least four or five of the tables, you know, mentioned that factor. Well, one of the ways to deal with that is to have a regional transit system based in large measure on rail transit, which exists in either in the planning stages or in actuality in almost all the large metropolitan areas in the country. Why isn't this the case in Milwaukee? I would argue that one of the primary reasons is because there is a racial dimension to that, and that the opposition to having a regional rail system, particularly out in outlying peripheral areas, you know, relates to racial attitudes. So the question of how we transcend those kinds of divisions seemed to me came through loud and clear in the comments, and I thought some of the comments could put us on the road to transcending those differences.
Tim Sheehy, what did you take from the reports from each of the tables?
As I listened to this, and this may be a bit of a jump for a connection, but I kept thinking of this line that Thomas Edison is famous for, that vision without execution is hallucination. And what I hear from the group is a wonderful vision of where we need to get to, and maybe this group's just a little more polite than it needs to be, but what I was looking for was almost an impatience. And I don't think it's a lack of understanding where Milwaukee needs to go. It's our inability to execute. And I may disagree with Mark a little bit on the reasons for the transportation issue, but I think we both agree it's a failure to execute on that that costs us. And I think where I see the best harmony in the business community, quite frankly, is in our fuel group, our young professionals group. That's the most diverse group. That's the most impatient group, and that is the group that has the most choice in front of them. And if they don't see what they need in their company, if they don't see what they need in their community in terms of an engaging, diverse, I like to toss out the word tolerance, I like the word harmony, if they don't see that, they've got choices. And those choices can take them all over the country and all over the world. And I think that one thing Milwaukee has to recognize is that we've got to go out and execute and do it quickly, because there's too much competition and too much choice all over this country and in other parts of the world. And there is no such thing anymore as staying in place.
Well, and hold your thought on execution, because I have a question about that in just a minute. But I want to get Paula Pennebaker's thoughts about what she heard.
Well, I thought that in general the responses I heard were, they made me feel very hopeful. It was interesting listening to different comments about the difference between harmony and tolerance and the realization that there is a difference there. When I think about racial harmony, it is a state of existence where people can just be who they are, what they are, be comfortable in that, and everybody else is okay with everybody being who and what they are. It's just the state of being. There were a lot of comments that suggested that doesn't exist. And if there was anything missing I guess, was a lack of a sense of, well, a lack of urgency or a sense of moral outrage that I don't feel.
Well, and it's hard to be outraged with a group of people that all want to have this conversation.
This is true.
Enrique Figueroa?
Let me start by saying what I did not hear, that I expected to hear. One is that no one mentioned the role of the church. And as we all know, a lot of us, you know, worship in very different kinds of churches. And one of the things that the church does is to promote harmony in very different levels. And yet no one mentioned that. The other thing that I did not hear is that I never heard the word Mayor Barrett or County Executive Walker mentioned. Why is that? Is that no role for those individuals to play? Is that the perception? And then thirdly, is that when we all talk about it's everybody's responsibility, it becomes nobody's responsibility. And then finally, I want to say is that we need to be cognizant of we've self-selected here. We're interested in this topic. There's a whole bunch of other folks that are not interested in this topic. And how is it that we bridge that divide?
And Howard Fuller, I want to get your impressions of what you heard. Did anything surprise you or strike you in particular?
I hope you all don't take this the wrong way, but I've been in too many of these. And I just have to say, I didn't hear nothing new, different, nothing. It sounds like the same racial dialogue stuff we always do. And I'm not... I'm not trying to be nasty. I'm just saying I've heard all of this before in this city. And the same cold words, you know, we got to get together. It's all of our responsibility. Whenever we have these meetings, people say all that. And I just want to remind people of a great African-American philosopher named Junebug Jabbo-Jones. And what Junebug Jabbo-Jones said, he said, Mr. Say ain't nothing. Mr. Do is the man. And ultimately, unless we're going to figure out a way to actually do things about what we see out here, nothing is going to happen. And all of us have our issues, whether it's transportation, education, whatever. The one thing that I would simply urge people to do is, if you actually believe in this stuff, pick something concrete and work on it. And actually try to make something happen that's different than what is currently happening. And that's really my hope, because I'm with Tim. It's about execution.
Let me ask you this. Are there, and let me ask all of you this, are there specific actions that you think need to occur or that you think will occur to change the state of whether we're talking about race relations or segregation? What's going to have to occur or what's about to occur that's going to take us from point A to point C? What's the point B that's going to send us in one way or another? Is it the recession that's happening? Is this going to force Milwaukee's hand?
Well, usually what happens when you have recessions is racism rears its angry head in a much more prominent fashion because the struggle over limited resources become more pronounced. So from my standpoint, when you say what can happen, my issue, of course, is education. I'm just hoping that we're going to seize an opportunity that I think we have right now to do something radically different in the city of Milwaukee that's focused on quality, accountability, and transparency. Because I don't see how we're ever going to have the city that all of us want when such a large number of our young people cannot read or write sufficiently to be able to compete in the world in which they're going to compete in. And so let me just leave you all with this thought. And if you're not outraged, then I don't understand why. On February 1st, 1960, four students sat down at a lunch counter and demanded to be served. Right now in 2009, we have students who can sit down at a lunch counter where they're welcomed and can't read the menu. The question is, what are we going to do about it? And when? And that's the thing that drives me, because there are solutions out there. It's not like there are no solutions to some of the problems that we see. It's a question of political will to pursue the solutions. And if dialogue like this and all that helps us get political will, political backbone, then it's a good thing. If it's just another night to converse and that, then I don't know.
Enrique Figueroa, are we on the cusp of something, or should we be on the cusp of something, or where do you think this needs to go from here?
Yes, I do think we're in the cusp of something, and I'll be very specific. I think similar to what Mr. Fuller just said. I don't know how many billions of dollars are being allocated through all the cities across this country on the stimulus dollars, the recovery money. Well, say that we get $100 million in the city of Milwaukee, or $50 million, I don't know what number, and we appoint Mr. Fuller and Mr. Sheehy to be responsible for dispensing those $100 million for the sole purpose of addressing and implementing and putting in place specific race barrier breakdown policies. The return to those $100 million to the city and county of Milwaukee over the next 20 years is going to be five or six-fold, because race relations affect our economy in many, many ways. And how is it that we have the political will to allocate X of millions of dollars for that sole purpose, for an economic return and also a moral return to our society?
You're saying the recession is actually an opportunity.
Yes.
Paula Pennybaker, what's your thought? Where do we go from here, aside from patting ourselves on the back?
Well, if I build on what Howard said with regard to education, I think we need to bring to the table in the dialogues about MPS education what I mentioned earlier, and that is a discussion about the quality of instruction. Now, I don't care how much money a district has, when you have teachers that are teaching children that they believe in their heart of hearts can learn, and they will not, as their teachers, allow them to fail, you will have better success. Now, you throw money in the game, and wow, you can send people to the moon. But we have to have a conversation about, an honest conversation about, why is it that all of these black and brown and poor children are having such poor achievement? It is not just the capacity. Education is Milwaukee's biggest barrier right now. If we don't have a good public school system, if we can't get people engaged in the reform of the public school system, then we are seriously in trouble from an economic standpoint and from a workforce development standpoint and every other way you can look at it. So I want to continue to push this notion of a quality of instruction.
Tim Sheehy, what does execution mean in your definition? How do we get from point A to point C? What has to happen?
There are four things, and I'll make them very specific. One is there are things that we can do in our professional environment. I thought I was pretty aware of all this stuff. It's not till I had a chairman come in and tell me that one of the factors in my bonus was the diversity of our board. I'll tell you what, I paid attention, and it changed the makeup of our board. So you can do this professionally. The other thing, I run an organization. I'm the CEO of an organization. I can make a difference in the makeup of that organization by who I hire and the candidates that we interview. The third thing is economics. One of the best things I think we've done recently is organize the Business Council. It's a group of African-American, Hispanic-owned businesses, and they are networking, not for the purposes of conversation, with large corporations. And to date, they have over $120 million in new contracts with those companies. This is our way to help grow diverse businesses. And the fourth one, I'm not going to repeat. I agree with Howard and Paula. I think we've got to land firmly on getting kids to the point where they have an opportunity to participate. If we can't get to that point, then we aren't going to execute as a community.
Mark Levine, you brought your crystal ball with you, I think. What do you think needs to occur or will occur to change the segregated nature of Milwaukee?
I think Milwaukee's facing, as indeed I think the country right now in this economic crisis is facing truly a day of reckoning. I think we have had these racial disparities and these racial inequalities now building up for so many years to the point now where the very future of the community is at stake. And I think there are, as Howard Fuller says, things that can be done. Education is obviously something that I think everyone agrees on here. I would only dissent from that to the extent that I think there's a tendency sometimes, not necessarily of anyone on this panel, to have education as the fallback position. You know, education is the key. Education is the future. If we don't solve the problem of education, that I think is a truism, but it doesn't explain why Milwaukee's situation on all these issues that we've talked about is so much worse than other big cities. I mean, yeah, we have problems in MPS, but the public school systems in virtually every major big city in the country are flawed. So we can't simply focus in on that and say, well, that's the key explanation for why Milwaukee is in such bad shape. I think it does at a certain point get to the core issue of economics. I think there are things that we need to do in a big bang kind of way, not incrementalism, not micro solutions, but a big bang to change the trajectory of this community.
It is a cliche to say it, but we know we have just scratched the surface here, and hopefully this conversation will spur something. More conversations, definitely. Actions, we hope. At home, at school, at work. Before we go tonight, let's thank all our panelists for helping drive this conversation. That was Howard Fuller, Enrique Figueroa, Paula Pennybaker, Tim Sheehy, and Mark Levine. And thanks to each of you for participating tonight. Give yourselves a hand, if nothing else. I do need to thank all the people who made Project Milwaukee possible, including the entire staffs of the WUWM News Department and Lake Effect. I particularly want to mention Stephanie Lecce from Lake Effect for playing a pivotal coordinating role, and Annalise Hensel of the News Department, who's executive producer of Project Milwaukee and really the driving force behind it. Thanks to our engineering team of Tom May and John Strelicki, and our marketing department of Cynthia Akey and Michelle Maternowski. Thanks, too, to the Milwaukee County Parks Department and the Mitchell Park Domes for hosting us tonight. For my colleague, Bob Bach, I'm Mitch Tyke. Thanks again, everyone, and good night.
Lake Effect is produced by Dan Harmon, Stephanie Lecce, and Mitch Tyke. We have a lot of help from our intern, Trapper Shep. All of our shows, including Project Milwaukee, are available on our website, WUWM.com. I'm Bonnie North. Thanks so much for joining us today. Please join us again on Monday for more of Lake Effect, 10 in the morning and 11 at night, on 89.7 WUWM HD, Milwaukee Public Radio.